Today, if you will, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 20, and we're going to look at all of that psalm, but it's verses 1 through 9. It's only 9 verses. It's not a very long psalm, but today, as you'll see on the screen, the title of our message is Renewing Your Spiritual Life for the New Year. Now, let me tell you, there's a little bit of a historical and theological significance to this. I know we often come out of Christmas and we think about all of the spiritual symbolism of Christmas and the importance that we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And as we talked about last week, you can't celebrate the birth without also acknowledging the death of Christ and the ascension and the fact that He will go to be at the right hand of the Father and the victory that comes from that. And so as we think about all of those things, it is very spiritual. But when it comes to New Year's, oftentimes it's sort of a letdown spiritually. It's usually seen as a holiday that really is for the partiers, and it's all kinds of things that we don't want to talk about, but all kinds of stuff that has no spiritual significance. But listen, let me invite you to think about this for a moment. When you look at the Old Testament, now, mind you, the Jewish New Year is not corresponding with our New Year. In fact, this past year, it would have happened around September 10th. But usually somewhere between September and October, the Jewish faith will celebrate really something that we know today as Rosh Hashanah. But it would have been the Feast of Trumpets as prescribed in Leviticus. In fact, it's in Leviticus chapter 23. And this was literally interpreted to be the head of the year. And God commanded the nation during the times of celebration. Now, in those days, they probably wouldn't have celebrated like we do. I saw on the news today they were having a ticker tape or confetti test in New York Times Square. I didn't know you had to do that, but they were doing a test to make sure that the confetti was at the right consistency. Listen, in the Old Testament, they would not have done those types of things. In fact, they would have chosen for the new year to be a spiritual time, listen to this, of renewal. It was a time to think back through what God had done this past year. Things that maybe you hadn't completed, that you were hoping to do this last year for the Lord, but for whatever reason it didn't happen. And then as you begin to prepare for the head of the new year, it now becomes a time of looking onto the horizon. The unwritten horizon outside of God having a purpose and a plan for your life. Make no mistake, He knows what's going to happen in 2019 for you, for me, and even for this church. But as we look into that horizon, we with great expectation begin to prepare and to prepare spiritually. And so this morning as we look at this passage, this is really, I don't believe, a passage that for all intents and purposes is David preparing for a new year, but he is giving us a semblance of how we ought to go through the process of sort of taking inventory, praying and thanking God for the things that He has done, and then in preparation for what may lie ahead. Now, in this particular historical setting for David, they have just won a victory. And God is causing David to write this psalm to now guide the nation in a time of celebration of what God had done, but also for them to now begin to get serious and prepare for the next battle. Now, you may not think of your life as battles, but there is something called spiritual warfare. And Satan loves to get the victory. And as you may think of your life and look in toward this new year, I want to invite us this morning to sort of walk through this passage and prepare for the new year as God would have ordained the Jews. And I think even in the New Testament sense, it extends to us today as New Testament believers. And so this morning, I want us to spend some time talking about renewal, how we renew our spiritual life. And there are three questions that we're going to extract from this passage this morning and think about. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for just again the opportunity that we have, Lord, to come and to spend time, as we've said, in worship and praise and fellowship. It's good to be a part of a community of believers where we can come as we are and be accepted. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful, Father, for the richness of this congregation. And we're thankful, Father, this morning that as we now have opportunity to turn and to explore Your Word together, we ask, God, boldly that You would open our hearts and our minds to You, that You would change and transform us this morning because of Your Word and the living nature of your word. The Holy Spirit is in these words this morning from this passage. And I pray no matter where we may find ourselves this morning, we may have never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. Maybe in 2019 is the year that we will finally surrender and to give you lordship of our life. Follow your Son as our Savior and begin to live that life of change and transformation. There may be others of us who have made that decision a long time ago. That's not an issue for us. But we have sort of just been phoning it in. We've been stumbling through our spiritual lives. We've been trying to connect the dots ourselves. And so this morning we come to a passage like this, and it actually is a little bit agonizing for us because of the conviction and the reminder of the fact that we're not letting you be in the places that you need to be in our lives. We talk about the head of the new year. You're not the head of our lives. And so we can't make you the head of our new year if we're not in a right relationship with you. Father, give us the ability, the wisdom, to see into our hearts and our lives and where you are there, away me where you're not there. But help us, Father, to see our lives this morning the way you see them. You guide us this morning. You help us as we explore this passage. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We'll start reading in this psalm, as I've said. It's just 9 short verses. So we'll read through all of them. And you'll sort of see the flow of the discussion for David. And he says this, "In times of trouble, may the Lord answer your cry. May the name of God of Jacob keep you safe from all harm. May he send you help from his sanctuary and strengthen you from Jerusalem. May he remember all your gifts and look favorably on your burnt offerings. May he grant your heart's desire and make all your plans succeed." Verse 5. "May we shout for joy when we hear of your victory and raise a victory banner in the name of God. May the Lord answer all of your prayers. Now I know the Lord rescues his anointed king. He will answer him from his holy heaven and rescue him by his great power. Some nations boast of their chariots and horses, but we boast in the name of the Lord our God." Verse 8. "Those nations will fall down and collapse, but we will rise up and stand firm. Give victory to our king, O Lord. Answer our cry for help." What a great passage as we look at this. And I want to, as I've said, draw our attention to 3 questions that we can extract from this passage. And you'll see them on the screen. And I would encourage you this morning, if you don't normally take notes, I'd encourage you this morning, just write these 3 questions down. Let this be a challenge for you in this next year to begin as we start. And I realize we're not quite there yet. We'll get there on New Year's Eve tomorrow and then, of course, Tuesday. But listen, now's the time to begin deciding what you're going to do for the Lord this next year. How are you going to allow God to move and work in your life? What are things that He wants to do in your life that He's been unable to do because you've not surrendered? And so as we look at this morning, I want to encourage you. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I want to give these questions to you and then give you an opportunity in the days to come to use these, to pray through and talk with the Lord about. This is not a Sunday morning only exercise. This has to be something that now begins to encase us for the next days and weeks as we struggle to answer these questions. Number one is this. Where do you stand with the Lord? Now listen, when we look at anything David writes in the Old Testament, we must understand the background for David and the fact that David was chosen at a young age, that David was placed in a situation that seemed to be impossible as the young rising king that now had to overcome the king that's heart was not where the Lord wanted him to be. And now begin to move the nation into the places that God wanted them to go, to build the temple, as we know, and to begin to be obedient. Listen, there are often times in David's writings that we now begin to see sort of what we might think of as a self-evaluation. I mean, I believe David often pondered where he stood with the Lord. Was he being obedient? And you see, in the problem in our lives today, we get into the practice of religion And we go through the motions of doing A, B, C, and D, but we lose sight of the eternal or the internal aspect of our faith, where we now begin to explore the more important things like, where do we stand with the Lord? What kind of relationship do we have with Him? Is it a healthy relationship? Is the Lord, here's one for you, is He pleased with where you stand with Him today? Now that's a hard question. And it's not one, by the way, that you can answer in just 5 minutes of a discussion. It's one that really ought to be asked on a regular basis. And that's where I'm getting at. I think David had to do these things. He had to ponder these questions. He had to ask, where do I stand with the Lord? And that is something that really has to be a day-to-day process. Where you stand with the Lord today certainly impacts tomorrow, but tomorrow you need to make sure that you're not falling into sin and out of the will of the Lord, and that you're asking that question tomorrow and the next day and next week. It's really something that every day we ought to wake up and say, Lord, where am I at with you today? What do I need to do to be obedient? Because in the life that's full of all kinds of stuff, none of that stuff matters as much as where you stand with the Lord. And that always has to be the beginning point. It's that self-evaluation. Let me ask you this question. Are you saved? Is there evidence of that? Do people see that change in your life? Do you see that change in your life? And if you are saved, are you growing? Are you in the place that God wants you to be? Are you obedient? Are you surrendering to Him? Are you allowing Him to invade every aspect of your life and change you in the way that He ordained you to be? Nobody else can make that choice or that decision for you. That is something that you have to decide. And let me clarify something here. When we talk about letting the Lord, you understand we don't have power over God, okay? God could do it in spite of us rejecting Him or not letting Him do something. But listen, we must learn, and God's love is defined by this, we must learn to surrender to Him. And when we surrender, we now begin, we've been talking about this lately, we surrender and then we begin to trust Him. And those go interchangeably. You can't trust without surrender, and you can't surrender without trust. We learn that in Scripture. And so as we begin to look into this new year, as we might think of the head of the new year, where do you stand with the Lord? Now that question has to be the first one. Then we move to the second one. And I'll be honest with you, these get harder for me as I go through this. And certainly as we see David sort of presenting the victory, but also resetting and getting the people to not be complacent, but now begin to get ready for the next battle. And you may be experiencing victory in your life. We celebrate those things. Never forget those things. But also remember, you must be ready for the next chapter or avenue or change or turn in your life. And that's where we get to this second one. You'll see it up there. And I think here we see the nation is always struggling and asking these questions. And here's the second one. What are your weaknesses? What are your struggles? And you can see where we have to become more and more honest as we sort of get closer to the center of our heart as we ask these questions. So where do you stand with the Lord then leads to, what are the weaknesses and struggles? You might think of it this way. What are the obstacles? What are the potholes in our life that are keeping us from being where we need to stand with the Lord? What are those habits? What are those things that you may be involved with? What are those decisions that you're making on a regular basis that are now distracting you from being what God wants you to be? And you're not able to stand because you're struggling with things that God never intended for you to struggle with. Now, I always was taught, and I have a minor essentially in management, business. And in school, we always talked about the fact that you can never talk about weaknesses without also talking about strengths. And I believe that. I do think that's important. As we think about weaknesses, we also at the same time need to think about the strengths in our lives. I mean, what are some of the strengths? Well, I believe, and I'll say this, maybe this is a little one-sided in my opinion, but I think it's true. You are a part of a great faith community made up of believers who love you and love the Lord and want the best for you. and want to honor God in all that we do, that's something that's a strength in your life. I'll go on to say this. We're a church that teaches the truth of God's Word. We're not dancing around that truth. We're not trying to apologize for it in our Sunday school, in our children's programs, in our youth programs, and hopefully you see that on Sunday morning in our preaching. That we're not apologizing. We're not trying to avoid the difficulties of Scripture. We're just sort of laying it out there and letting God deal with you in those things, just like He deals with all of us in those things. Another strength you may think is you've got a great family. You've got a family who you may have a wife or a husband that loves the Lord. That's a strength in your life. I mean, I grew up in a home where my dad wasn't a believer. And so, listen, I often envied those Christian families that came to church together because I didn't have that. And I think sometimes people take that for granted. They lose sight of the importance of having a Christian family that's there no matter what may be happening in your life. No matter the difficulties or the good times or even the decisions, the unconditional love and the nature that comes with that. That's a strength. Listen, as you think about those strengths, now you go back to that question, what are the weaknesses and struggles? And that's something that has to be an honest sort of self-evaluation, where through the guidance of God's Word, we spend time sort of walking through and listing those things. I mean, some of your lists may be longer than others. Mine's quite lengthy, to be honest with you. And as we think about those weaknesses, now we begin to know what we need to pray for. And listen to me. Don't doubt this. Anytime God begins to help you to identify a weakness in your life, then you begin to, I love this, fasten your seatbelt because God's going to begin the journey of making that a strength. He will. And some of you can testify to that. Things that were weaknesses in your life before, once you finally surrendered it to the Lord and now began to allow Him to take charge of that, it now you look back on it and it's a strength and it's hard for you to remember when it was a weakness in your life. But that's the transforming power of our God. So He can overcome anything, even you, if you're willing to let Him do that. And so as you begin to fasten that seatbelt and let God now begin to do the things in your life, that's where, listen to this, the surrender and the trust comes in. It may not make sense to you, but the Lord begins to open a door and you're thinking, well, I'm not ready for that. But yet that's part of God's process of turning a weakness into a strength, allowing you to get through a struggle. And now maybe God's going to use you as you get stronger to begin to help other people who might be in that struggle. But listen, we have to believe in that. And I, without doubt, David knew the transformative power of God. He knew that. He had seen it in his life. He had seen it in the victories that God had given the nation. He had seen it in his own family. And so as we begin to think about those weaknesses and struggles, that is something that has to be done. It has to be. And it now becomes sort of that, and again, I'm not a formula person, y'all know that. But it now becomes something this year as we begin to think about those areas that we want to work in. Those areas that we want God to take charge of. Now we have sort of a list of those things to pray for. And I, listen, I would tell you, you know, if you've got a lot on your list, then maybe you pray about what are the one or two big things that God really wants. And you know what you'll often find is if you have several, often there's a common denominator that now becomes sort of the basis of those others. And if you'll take care of A, then oftentimes C and D and E now begins to fade away, see. So it may be intimidating, and Satan will get involved in this sometimes and try to get you sort of down and out about all of the things that God may not be happy about in your life. Be careful there. This has to be done in a spiritual time. Having a quiet time and spending time in prayer and not trying to do this in a 10-minute segment, but over a period of time, you ought to pray this, Lord, help me to find what my weaknesses are. Help me to be honest about those areas that I struggle with. And then, Father, I want you to guide me into making those things stuff that you control and that you change. And now that becomes sort of that victory. It now becomes not a defeating and deflating process, but it becomes a victory. And it's something that we now begin. And I know we often find in the New Year season resolutions and goals that are set for the new year. And I think even last year I spoke about setting goals for the new year. And I'll only say this, goals are good, resolutions, whatever you want to call them. They almost become, listen, this mile markers for you. They're things that you sort of put in front of you to now obtain. And you know, let's just take this one for example. Let's say your daily quiet time is a weakness for you. You're not consistent. You're not getting the richness out of it that you need. And so maybe God is leading you to spend a little more time studying His Word. Maybe there's areas of His Word that you're not familiar enough with. You're not strong enough in. And so God is leading you to become more adept to God's Word and more of a biblical scholar, so to say. Then you know what? You've got to step out and now begin to take the effort to study it. And so maybe right now your goal is to spend 10 minutes a day praying and reading through God's Word, starting in Genesis and going all the way through Revelation this next year. And maybe that's that first goal. But as time goes by now, it turns into 15 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever it may need to be. I mean, again, I'm never hung up on the amount of time. It's the quality of that study. Maybe you're not part of a Sunday school class. And listen, I'm going to tell you, if you're trying to get deeper in your understanding of God's Word, we have some of the best Sunday school teachers I've seen. And spending time with other believers, asking those deep questions and searching together those truths, God has put you as part of this faith community for you to learn and be strengthened. And one of the mechanisms in which He does that is through Bible study with other believers. And so maybe this next year, that's it. You're going to commit to be a part of a Sunday school class. And say, you know what, maybe every Sunday's too much. So I'm going to come 3 or 4 Sundays a month. That's okay. Start somewhere. But it's important that as we begin to look at these weaknesses and the struggles, that we now begin, and this is sort of the business side of me, we now begin to pray about a plan that God has for us in that. It's not enough just to identify. We now got to begin to take those steps. You know, there was a time, and I might have shared this before, but I played football in high school. I know I'm small, but back then I was average size, but I was a nose guard. That sounds odd. You never see a guy my size being a nose guard, but my football coach liked having a small, quick guy at nose guard because I literally, the big center, I could go through his legs or around him before he could even get up out of his stance and hopefully get to the quarterback, and I couldn't tackle him, but I could hold on to his legs until one of the bigger defensive ends came and tackled him. And so my coach used to say this, listen, here's what you need to do, Keith. You need to get stronger. You got to lift weights. You've got to get in the weight room. And none of that was going to happen unless I went to seventh period weight room. And we had that. Some of you went to high school and maybe you had that too. But seventh period was weight room for football players. And if I just decided, well, you know what? I'm just going to get strong by sitting here and drinking my Coke and eating a candy bar. It's not going to happen. You got to get in that gym. You got to start doing the work. And so you may be looking at your strengths and even your weaknesses and the struggles, and you're looking at it and saying, well, you know, I'm just going to ask God to supernaturally make that a strength for me. And He could do that. But oftentimes, He's going to call you to take that step to now start doing the things that will discipline you and help you to now be where He wants you to be. And so you got to be ready for that. Don't just say, yeah, that's a weakness. Okay, let's move on. You got to decide what are the things that God's leading you to do. This leads us then to number 3. And I'll end with this one this morning just because I think this is sort of the bombshell question for me. And it's the one I struggle with. Of all of these, it's the one I struggle with the most. And it's one that every single day we should be asking. You'll see it on the screen. If we're going to ask, where do you stand with the Lord? Sort of that self-evaluation. Then you look at what your weaknesses and struggles are with. And then number 3 is this. How does the Lord want to change you? Now this is almost an impossible question. Because what we see is a finite picture. We see what's only in front of us sometimes. We don't see the big picture. And so what we have to learn to do, and I think out of asking this question, it's not about asking God to give you the full blueprint. And I'm going to go back on what I said the last Sunday, I think, and maybe the Sunday before. It's not asking God to give you the full blueprint. You just need to trust, and as we've said, surrender and trust in Him. But it's about being able to see enough so that you know what next step you need to take. And so the change now begins to happen. But listen, I think we all can look to Scripture. And the Bible's pretty clear that Jesus serves as a model of what we should strive to be like. And so above all else, and whatever it is specifically as far as weaknesses and struggles that God wants to do in your life, there's no doubt that He wants you to be more like Jesus. Amen? And so as we begin to study and learn about Jesus and who He is and what He did and the power that He brings into our lives, now we begin to sort of see the image, the master image of what God desires for us. But it's also that incremental step, just letting God change you. Maybe it's an attitude today. Maybe it's a dislike for something. Maybe it's a struggle in learning to love someone who's unlovable. Now that doesn't happen here, but I've been in churches where sometimes you have folks that are just very difficult to love because of just who what they do and how they do it, and it's just difficult sometimes. But listen, God's power has the ability to change you, to allow you to love them through God's power and His love. And if we're His tool and instrument, then we must learn to be used the way that He wants to use us, not the way that we think He wants us to be used. But we've got to begin to ask that question, what does God want to change in our life? And that sort of goes back to the weaknesses and struggles, and certainly where we stand with the Lord. Now, I'm going to say this and go out on a limb, and I'm going to include myself in this. None of us can look at all three of these questions and say, there's nothing I got to do this year. There's not a single person in here. You know how I know that? Because you're still living, and you're breathing, and you're imperfect. And because of that, there's always something that God is wanting to do in your life. Now, some of us may be further along or further behind than others. That's always going to be the case. And that's part of the richness of what you find in a faith community. But there's change that we all need to be making. There's work that God is calling us to do. And certainly in the nation of Israel, as they would come to the end of one year and begin to prepare for the new year, it does become a time of celebration, but it also becomes a time of preparation. And that's what I think the Lord's leading us to do, not only as individuals, but also as a church in preparing. I mean, there's no question, we have challenges. We do. We have financial challenges. We have structural challenges, and it seems like every time we get to one point and we have a victory, there's another battle right there. And you know what? That's just part of it. God knows exactly where we're at. He knows exactly what's ahead for us. He knows how we're going to be able to do it, but we can celebrate in this at the end of this one year. And I'm going to tell you, when you begin to look at this church and the challenges, we've had a difficult year in some ways. But listen, here's the victory. God has given us the means to repair every physical issue in this church this last year without incurring one cent of debt. Amen? And so there's a victory there. There's God working. And so if we're allowing Him to work and move through us and be in charge, that even in those uncertainties, God still gets the victory. And maybe that becomes a testimony for this church. Maybe it becomes a means that God deepens us and grows us and prepares us. Maybe God's got a church down the road for us to come alongside of and assist who may be going through similar things. I don't know. We'll leave that to Him. But we know that God has a purpose and a plan for this church. And you're a part of this church. And He has a purpose and a plan for you. And as He looks into 2019, and as you look into 2019, what we want to make sure is that we're seeing that through God's eyes, not through ours. Not through the defeat and the worldliness that this world brings, but through God's wisdom in His eyes. And looking at it, and certainly trusting Him and surrendering to Him. And part of that has to include sort of what we might think of, as we've said this morning in some ways, a spiritual sort of recalibration. It's important to do that from time to time. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for this passage. And for this word, and Father, for just the truth that we hear from David here. And I pray for each and every person here this morning, whether they be a believer or not, Lord, I pray that your Spirit is moving and working in their life. That this is one of those sort of passages that now sort of settle into our hearts and we can't really get rid of it. It's going to be one of those things we're going to think and move through and process in the days and weeks even to come. And I pray that challenge on all of us. And I pray that as we as a church move into a new year, that God, that you would help us as a church to be standing where you want us to be in that right place of obedience. That, Father, that the weaknesses and the struggles that we face as a church, that you would begin to change those into what we would call strengths and victories. And we know you do. And, Father, I pray that as you work in this church this next year, that you would change each and every one of us, that you'd transform us, that you'd help us to be deeper in our walks with you, to be more focused on you as individuals, and spend this next year, Father, letting you truly be the Lord of every aspect of our life. Changing and transforming. We pray that. And Lord, whatever those obstacles and those facades and even the potholes, as we may think, that have been built up in our lives to distract from that. Lord, remove those now. Power and the victory of Jesus, and begin to make that change process. Father, this morning, I don't know what decisions need to be made. There may be some who feel led this morning to come and accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Others may just need to come and spend time at the altar praying. Lord, whatever it is, I pray, God, that you would be honored and glorified, that you would be exhorted and exemplified this morning. And our response to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. I want to invite you to the altar if you feel led to do that.